And we're a little tired today, aren't we? It's been a long week. Wonderful week, but it's been a long week. So it's good to be tired. It's good to be tired because together in unity, we serve the Lord together. So it is actually a good thing to be tired this morning. So we are going to continue in our summer series. Hopefully you have a handout. Who doesn't have a handout? If you don't have a handout, raise your hand, and Jeff in the back will get you a handout. So it looks like something like this. Now, this should not be in any way new to you. We've been talking about this for 2+ years, and it's also posted on where you get your coffee. So hopefully you're not bypassing it. Hopefully you're taking a look at it considering some of the things that we have been speaking about for 2+ years, and which we are going to highlight again in this summer series. So would you turn with me in the scriptures to 1 John? 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be reading and looking at the text, verses 7 through 21 this morning. And I will ask you, if you would, please, as we read God's word together, we will rise in reverence for the Lord's words. Let's rise together. I will read it, and you can follow along in your scriptures, in your Bible. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, nor God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God has loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son, a Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God enables, abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God has for us, God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may be bold, have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If somebody says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And the commandment have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Let's just open up in a word of prayer. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray that the Holy Spirit would illuminate our hearts and minds to the message that you have for us today, that we be challenged by your word. And as we think about this topic of love and action, Lord, you would speak to each one of us where the need is. Lord, encourage us and strengthen us in this thought. Lord, you are love. We are focused in your love. And Lord, we just are thankful for that through our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, the completed victorious work that we have. In the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our living Savior. Amen. You may be seated. One second here. Okay, this is a little bit of an eye chart, but again, it's in front of you. So as we continue the summer series, again, this is a initiative that we in the assembly have been looking at for the past 2+ years. So really, for most of us, it's not new, but for some of you who may be new to us, it's a good overview. So we have come together, and the elders and the individuals here, the believers here at Mountain Ridge, have put together what we see as a vision, his vision, the Lord's vision, God's vision for Mountain Ridge Bible Chapel. And it's kind of given us a roadmap that we've been kind of following and looking at and speaking to over again the past couple of years. As you see here, we have our purpose statement here, and you see the five tenets of that purpose statement. And then we also see that we have the six different kind of key ideas here as well. So we've talked about connected relationships. Doug spoke to us last week about that. Today we're going to talk about love and action. You see, we have value our youth, which is, and then we have spiritual gifts on your sheets, a little bit not there. So, but that is spiritual gifts. And then we also have equipping the believers, and we also have love the spiritually lost. So on the flip side of it, we've also offered up some actions that go along with those six kind of key areas that we as an assembly and we each individually, we can work towards and kind of work towards these six key focal points. And again, as we've mentioned, we've been talking about this ministry for some time. We talked about it last year as well in the Renewing our series, Our Mind, our Live series. And so it is something that we do want to keep in front of us. So last week, Doug brought to us again, he brought to us the thought of connected relationships. And just some thoughts regarding that, because it does tie into what we're going to talk about today, love in action. One of the thoughts, or a couple of thoughts that I picked up that I really enjoyed, he said, first, we are adopted into the family of God by our Heavenly Father. He has redeemed us. He has brought us back into a real and eternal relationship with him through the saving work of his beloved Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That we are Christ and that he has paid for us, that we are not our own, and that now we are part of a family. We belong to his family with other believers who are in Jesus Christ. He also encouraged us that because of that fact, that we need to treat our brothers and sisters in Christ with that a godly love. We are family because the Holy Spirit indwells in each one of us and has brought us together as a local family. So there must be grace and there must be mercy. There must be tolerance. There must be reconciliation amongst the family members and a genuine desire to live connected lives. Now, Doug said a lot more to that, but those couple of things really kind of got my attention because, again, they really dovetail very nicely into the thought today of love in action. So, if you recall, if you were here last year, you remember that we did have, again, we had this series, summer series called Renewing Our Lives. And I had an opportunity to speak on one of the Sundays. And I spoke about Alex Strauch, who's a very vivid author that he comes and ministers to us here. He's out in Littleton, Colorado. We love our brother Alex. And he has written many, many books. And one book that he has written is Love or Die. It is subtitled Christ Wake Up Call to the Church. And the key verse here is Revelation 2, verse 4. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Well, we're aware that in Revelation, the first couple chapters of Revelation, we see Christ's message, the evaluations of the seven churches in Asia Minor. And then in chapter 2 specifically talks about the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus. And just to kind of remind us about that church of Ephesus, it was a first century church. Ephesus was under Roman rule. Again, it was a first century church, like I mentioned, and they had their hands full. They were facing great hardship in this local church. The Lord knew of their hardships, and he says that in chapter 2, and he said this of them. I know your deeds. I know your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you can not tolerate wicked men. I know that you have tested those who say are apostles and found them to be false. And I know that you have persevered and have endured hardships in my name. And I know that you have not grown weary. But then the Lord is going to continue on. After all those commendations, the Lord is going to continue on and say, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. It says, remember the height from which you have fallen from. Repent and do the things you did at first. And if you do not repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from you, referring to your spiritual testimony. So the Lord starts out with all these commendations of this local church. Yet he sees their love that has grown cold to the point of a loss of love, an abandonment of the love that the church once had. You see, they didn't possess the same kind of love that they had in the early years of the church. Yes, they still loved the Lord. It was evidenced by the Lord's commendations and his words, but that love wasn't the same as in the beginning. And their love for each other had also changed. It wasn't the same. Now, I know this is a lot of words here on this slide, but I just want to put it out there. I'm going to read it to you verbatim. Alex Strauchel, again, who is the author of this book, Love or Die, says this of the Ephesians. Their love for Christ and for one another had once motivated all that they had to do. It brought love, it brought joy, it brought creativity, freshness, spontaneity, and energy to their life and to their work. But now their energy source was depleted. Their work had become mundane, mechanical, and even routine. And their lives a picture of self-satisfaction. And instead of their love abounding, it had been lacking. Instead of being motivated by love from the heart, their works had become obligatory. Even certain works which sprang from their former love, they vanished. For this Jesus rebukes them and calls them to do those works again. You see that the text doesn't specifically state the object of the lost love, Christ or the church, the believers. But it is generally agreed upon that this reflects a loss of holistic Christian love. Love for God, love for believers in the church, and a love for the spiritually lost. And we also must remember that we see that the love of God and the love of believers cannot be separated. We are reminded in Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40, the Lord's priorities, he has two priorities. First priority is to love the Lord your God with your whole being, your whole heart, soul, and mind. And then the second priority is that you love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who's your neighbor? It's your friend, it's your fellow believer, it's the stranger that you don't know, it's your enemy, it's someone that's even unloving. The love for God and the love for our neighbor, they are inseparable. And Alex, as the author of the book, again says, Christ's followers are to be marked not only by a total devotion to God, but also a sacrificial service to each other. The Lord himself says this, a new commandment I will give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. And we can find that in John chapter 13. Well, we also asked the question to ourselves when we were speaking of this. We said, When people visit Mountain Ridge Bible Chapel, what do they feel? What do they sense? What do they see? We ask the question, do they know that we collectively and individually have a priority and focus to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind? If someone's walking in the door, do they sense a warm, friendly atmosphere that demonstrates love for all people? We ask the question, do people sense Christ-like compassion and the kind of a loving family that the New Testament writers had envisioned? Do they hear or see genuine care for one another's needs? Do they show hospitality? Do they give up themselves in a generous way? And do they observe the joy of the Lord, spiritual vitality, and a vision for the world and for the lost? So we ask those questions. They were rhetorical questions, but we asked those as we went through this thought. Well, practically, what can be done to restore an abandoned love? Well, we talked about pray. We can diligently pray that we would know the Lord's love truly, that we'd understand it, that we would be appreciative of it, and that we would take it in individually and also corporately. We also said that we would pray to love one another more. The Apostle Paul says this, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all people as we do to you. And then in Philippians chapter 1, it says, and it is my prayer that you love, your love may abound more and more. Well, we know that as believers, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We've already mentioned that. And in ourselves, we don't really inherently have that capability of love. But because the Holy Spirit's in us, we have that divine nature, and we do have the capability to love. So it's important that we know that, that yes, in our inner man, we don't, but in Christ, with the Holy Spirit indwelling within us, we do. And then we thought about just teaching love, making sure we know what love is and what love isn't. We know that this culture has rewritten the whole definition of love. It is not what God says is love. So we must truly know from the scriptures what the love of God is. And then we spoke about how we could practice, how we could model the love in the local church. And these are two quotes here from Alex. Alex says, the local church family is to be a close-knit family of brothers and sisters who are totally committed to displaying God's love by loving and caring for one another. And then he also says that love is an indispensable element to every believer's work and gift and relationship in the body of Christ. So don't wait around for people to love you. Start loving and serving one another. So that's just kind of a recap of what we looked at last year when we talked about renewing our lives. And I thought that some of those points there are very pertinent for what we're going to talk about today, is that love in action. And so we're going to look at now 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to go through this together. Now, be reminded now that 1 John, of course, is written by the Apostle Paul. Apostle John, thank you. I heard some murmurings out there, so thank you for that. I appreciate that. Yep, Freudian slip. And that the theme really is fellowship, Christian fellowship, and also back to the basics of Christianity. So John here is going to speak of the behavior of a Christian. He's going to speak of the belief of a Christian. And then he's going to talk about the love of God and love of others as a Christian. And in this section, chapter 4, verses 7 through 21, we're going to be looking at God's character of love, and we're going to be looking at God's requirement of love. So as we focus on love in action, John has already emphasized in verses in earlier chapters of this thought of love in action. The premise of God's love and the love of our fellow believers. He says in chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, he who loves is of the light, and he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling for him. And then John will continue in chapter 3, verse 11. He'll say, this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So before we start talking about love amongst each other, the believers, we need to ensure again, where does this love stem from? Doesn't stem from us, doesn't stem from our inner man. It's not, doesn't stem from us at all. We cannot make this up. Where does it come from? It comes from God himself. And a pastor who I have really gotten to enjoy recently is Alistair Begg. He is a pastor out in Cleveland. He's got a great Scottish brogue. He has a website and a blog called Truth for Living. And as many of you know, I travel to New York City now, and I get to listen to Alistair on the way in. I found some great thoughts on this topic that I want to share with you this morning. Four aspects of God's love. So the first one is God's love finds its origin in himself. And we're going to see that in verses 8, 10, and 19. So we really need to realize that love to us individually is really a response. We generally don't love for the sake of loving. Our love is generally reciprocal. It's a reciprocal process. I love you because you love me. That's really the way we look at love. But God, as the full embodiment of love, he loves because we see in verse 8, God is what? Love. He is love. We also know that God is spirit, John 4 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. We know that he is a consuming fire. We see that in Hebrews, for our God is a consuming fire. We know that he is light. We even spoke about that this morning in 1 John 1. He is light, and there is no darkness in him. But he is also love. We see it in the scriptures. He is love. You see, the Gnostics believe that God was an immaterial spirit, but never defined the source of love as coming from God's inmost being. But here we see in the scriptures that God himself is love. So we must clearly know that God is the full essence of love. God, love is inherent in all that he is and all that he does, because God is love. And so we also see that God loves us because he has chosen to love us. Not that we deserved his love in any way. Ephesians 1, verse 3 and 4, we know it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. So you see, we must truly know that God is the full essence and complete person of love. He is the foundation of love. So that's the first aspect. Second aspect is that God finds its expression in the gift of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection. We see that in verses 8, 9, and 14. The ultimate expression of God's love is what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We're reminded also in Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, have we been saved from the wrath through him, for we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The judgment of sin on the cross of Calvary was the supreme example of God's love. He poured out his wrath on his beloved son in place of sinners for you and for me. And we see in verse 10 this word propitiation. And what does that mean? It means satisfaction. It means that Christ, in his perfect life and atoning substitutionary death, that he satisfied the wrath of God against our sin and against us. Do you see that this morning is a tremendous expression of love for all humanity? So our heart should really be full of gratitude to our Heavenly Father for expressing his love to us in the giving of his well-beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That expression is so valuable to us. His love, Jesus Christ, for us. And then the third aspect is God's love fulfills its purpose as it brings us to know him, and it matures us and leads us into a relationship with him. See this in verse 13, where it says, as believers, we abide in him and he abides in us because he has given us his spirit. And then in verse 16, we see that God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. This is that beautiful relationship we have with God, abiding in his love. It's important to know, as 2 Peter tells us, that we are partakers of God's divine nature. Since God's natural or nature exhibits love as a chief characteristic, we have that as adopted children through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have his divine nature. And that love that he is should reflect in us, because we now have his DNA. Do we really grasp that? It's hard to think in this natural man, say, that we have God's divine nature, but we do. We do. So in reality, as believers, we do have God's spiritual DNA in us. We are partakers of his divine life. We may not feel it, but we have it. We are born into God's family, and we have spiritual life from God himself and the Lord Jesus Christ. Dave Reed says this. He says, because of his essence, God is love. Those who have spiritual life in God's family will exhibit love as an obvious family trait. So it is important for us to grasp that the love of spiritual believers is evidence of spiritual life through God's divine nature, as we are a part of the family of God. And then fourth, God's love is revealed to others by our love and for one another. We see that in verse 12. Alistair says this. He says that the church is God's audio visual presentation to the dying world. It should be, right? It really should be. When we live as God's people, we express to others God's love and his character. We should want to resemble and represent that whole essence of God. We want to display his character and his essence to others, to really what it is, a dying world. Well, why wouldn't we want to live that way? Romans 5, verse 5 says this, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our lives by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See this whole thought of poured out. What does it really mean? It means that it's an ongoing action predicated upon a completed action. So it's an ongoing action predicated upon a completed action. And we see that in the Holy Spirit's ministry in the believer's life. The action at the cross is complete. The love of God has been shown to all humanity in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is satisfied with the penalty for sin. We are reconciled back to a holy God, sins forgiven, clothed in Christ's righteousness. And now we have that divine nature, and the Holy Spirit continues to pour out into our lives God's love. So as he is doing that for each one of us, what potentially stops us from pouring out our love into each other? Love. Love in action. I think it's also important to be reminded here that in we look at verses 11 and 21, that the love that we're talking about when the word says we should ought to love one another is that agape type love. It's not that reciprocal type love that really is inherent within us. If you love me, then I will love you, or I love you because you love me. What this love really is it's in spite of love. It's that in spite of type of love. I love you in spite of who you are, and it doesn't matter what you have done to me. That's that type of love. That's God's love. That's not our love. It's very different from our own thinking of love, isn't it? Because we look at it from a reciprocal perspective. But really, God's love is in spite of. So how does that change our mindset when we think about loving our brother and sister? It really should practically and radically change the way that we show love in action. And let's be honest with one another here. We can be really hard to love. Really, really hard to love. And we can be really, really difficult sheep. Difficult for the Lord as the good shepherd, right? But let's not make it hard for each of us to love one another. Because the scriptures direct us that we must love one another. So are we being difficult to the point where we are making it difficult for our brother or sister to love us? I think we need to do a gut check and think about that. And really kind of do an assessment, because that's just the reality of who we are in the inner man. But also, as we have spoken about, with the divine nature in us, the natural outpouring should be that type of God's love. And so let's not make it difficult for others to love us. And then also the thought here is about, as you see in verses 12 and 17 and 18, about perfected. The word perfected, that's really kind of an important word, because the thought there is coming to maturity. So as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've already said that we are partakers of God's divine nature. And the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So this agape love, which we just mentioned, should be as a natural outpouring and should be evident in our lives. So the evidence of spiritual maturity is this thought of perfected, coming to maturity. By his love in us, this is this pure agape love, which exhorts us to love one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that love is meant to be actioned. It is meant to spur each other on. It is meant to be displayed in love, in action. Dave Reed has a great illustration, which I just want to pass along to you, which I think is extremely helpful. So when we think about this love, God's love, think about God being the hub of the wheel, And the believers, us, we are the spokes. There's more space, you can see here visually, between the spokes of the wheel at the rim. So the rim, you see a lot more space between the spokes as they are farther from what? The center or the hub, right? So as the spoke gets closer to the center, the spokes get closer to each other and closer to God himself. The more his love will be seen in our lives, and the closer we'll be to our fellow believer. So we should be moving towards the center. We should be moving towards the hub in our spiritual lives. That, again, spiritual maturity. And as we do that, we are going to get closer to the hub. We're going to know God's love, and we're also going to get closer to our brother and sister as well. So I think that's a very kind of a helpful pictorial. Okay, so how do we do this? How do we love in action? So we've talked about these things here. We've placed these here in this for some time now. Let me just go quickly over some of them. We've talked about erasing busyness in our lives. No time. We're so busy, right? That's really our collective thinking, right? And we are to a certain extent. But we also tend to make that an excuse in our lives because we really potentially don't want to connect with one another. We have this perceived busyness that impacts us to simply make a phone call, to simply write a text of encouragement to one another. So are we really that busy that we can't show love to one another? And are we really ready to stop utilizing busyness as an excuse, both individually and collectively? Second thought here is love in action in practical small steps. Are we willing to love and reciprocate that love? Are we willing to take small steps and to love one another and to show that with one another? Really just starting small. And really that love, that agape love, in spite of love. And honestly, as we mentioned before, we can be hard to love. We kind of really need to know that. And sometimes we put up these barriers that really say, stop. I don't really want to be loved. Well, by doing that, we're not really living in the divine nature, are we? And we're hindering our brothers and sisters to be obedient, to love us as God has told us to do. So we need to think about that too. And the third here is we talked about doing life together. I kind of like this open-ended thought of doing life together, living together, supporting one another, being transparent with one another, sharing what's on our minds with one another in a trustful way with each other, helping each other through the day. I know there are some ladies here that have a text message group, and where there's an immediate prayer request, an SOS come. They send an SOS message, and the ladies take that message and pray for it. That's a great idea. We should all be doing that. SOS, that's a great idea. We should be praying for one another, encouraging each other by name. Is that something we really want to do? And then these other actions, which we talked about here, you can see on the slide here, is kind of how do we do that individually and corporately? You know, we saw a great love in action this past week with VBS. Real connected relationships. People coming alongside and helping one another. A tremendous sign of love in action. We have at the men's meeting, I believe at the ladies' meeting as well over the past year, we've shared our testimonies with one another. That has been a real encouragement to us. I know, especially the men who pray on Saturday morning, to hear each other's testimony. How do we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior? That was a real encouragement. We can share that. We can continue to do that collectively and individually. We can go and have and share a cup of coffee with one another, have a wonderful chat in a very informal social way. We can do that. Do we do that? We can have a meal with one another. We can get around the table, your kitchen table, your dining room table. We can hold hands as we pray. We can share a meal together, and then we can talk about the things of the Lord. We can do that as we show love, love in action. And there are just so many more that we can think about that's here, that, and many more that we are all doing and you're doing as well. But I want to encourage us to love, God's love in action. And so as we kind of close our thoughts this morning on this topic of love, love in action, we are called to love one another. The source of real love is God himself, and we are called to love as God loves. We are told that he loves, and so we must love as well. We go back to verse 7 as we started, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God." So what are we going to do now as we go forward? Are we going to pursue love in action? We are so loved by the full Godhead, so too can we love one another in action. This is spoken to my heart. Pray that it speaks to your heart. I pray that we continually look at this, continually to walk forward, continually to mature spiritually with the love of God that he has shown to us, that he reveals to us, and that we have in him. Each one of you is precious. Each one of you, the Lord himself died for you on the cross of Calvary. You are precious to the Lord. You are precious to us. The Lord has placed you in this body of believers for this time and for this purpose. Oh, that we would love one another. Oh, that we would lift one another. Oh, that we would show and display love in action. Let's pray. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that you reminded us that you are love. And Lord, that we pray that, Lord, you would teach us how to love. We know that we have your divine nature, but it's hard, Lord, in this inner man. And Lord, we see love in such a different way than you do, Lord. So reveal that to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, continue to mature us spiritually. Help us to continue to move towards the hub. And when we do that, we're moving towards each other, Lord, as well. Help us to find opportunities to love in action and to put away the excuses, Lord, that really just snare us and entail us, Lord. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would encourage us, and Lord, and also, Lord, we ask, Lord, that we would be unsettled and that you would challenge us this day with your word and for the days ahead. We give you thanks in the precious name of the one who loved us and gave himself for us, our living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we give thanks. Amen.